I've always been told that Luke was a doctor. I didn't know him personally, but I don't think he carried around a black bag when he was walking with Jesus. Maybe they weren't black bags back then. Maybe they were medicine balls or something, but all I got to say is this. The only place, now y'all, I am not, I'll get myself in trouble. I'm not against medicine and I'm not against doctors, okay? But let it be your very, 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 very last alternative. Amen. Let that be your last alternative. Because I will tell you where I've seen doctor mentioned in the Bible. The woman come to Jesus with an issue of blood and touched his garment. Bam! She was down. I feel like she just got slain in the spirit. Now, I don't know that. That's not in the Bible. So I'm just kind of adding that for effect. But she got touched, and he said, I felt, you know what? If some anointed man or woman of God touches you, Cindy, and you get blapped. Have you ever been blapped? You ever been bam, out for the, you ever been there? Now, I was just thinking, what if Jesus touched you? Was he anointed? He never sinned, man. It's like, bam! I felt like, that's what happened. If I could just, she said to herself, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be healed. It said something about this lady before that happened. It said she'd had this infirmity, I think, for 12 years. Thank you. And it said she went to the doctors and she spent all her money on doctors. She spent Obamacare on doctors. She spent Blue Cross Blue Shield on doctors. She spent everything she had on doctors and said, in fact, she was not only was she not better, she was worse. Now, I know we've come a long way. I know they didn't have MRIs. I know they didn't have machines. They didn't have x-rays. And I'm not against any of that, but I'm just saying one touch from Jesus is enough. It's enough. And praise God, I'm glad that we can, I'm glad. I've been to Haiti. Man, you talk about, you don't want to go in the hospital there unless you want to die. We've got, praise God, we have got good doctors. We've got good nurses. We've got all that. But there may be a day coming to America where you're going to have to walk in faith for your food, for your health, for everything. So start practicing. Praise, how's your knee? Is it better?
Yes, it is.
Is it still good?
Yes, it is.
Yes. That, and you said it because that's what I've been praying. That's what we've been praying for this place. We've been praying for an open heaven. What if the heavens were jacked open? Come on. What if the heavens were... Tell me a place in the Bible where the heavens were jacked open. Just jacked open. Can y'all think of a place? Where the manna fell? Yes. Did you have something, Cindy? There was a place called the upper room. I think there was a open heaven over the upper room. What happened? Tongues of fire set upon each one of them. Ooh, I like tongues of fire. I'd say when God parted the Red Sea, I'd say when there was a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day that the heavens were open, wouldn't you? How bad does America need an open heaven? Come on, man. Y'all don't know. How bad does America need an open heaven? Over the White House. Over the town council in Greenville, Indiana. Whoa. We need God, man. We need Jesus. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. When I say we need it, Jason, you know what? We got it. You have got the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to beg for it. You don't have to ask for it. You already have it. It's like having $1 million in your bank account and you don't know you have it. And you're living like a pauper, but you've got everything you would need to take care of every need in your life. You have it, Shelby. You have it. You're not a beggar. Hannah, you're not a beggar. You have the Most High God. Youth group, praise God, youth group is growing phenomenally. And I believe that's just a picture of what God's fixing to do in the church. It's tripled in size in the last month or so. And there's more coming. There was some that couldn't be there the other night, but we had a bunch, didn't we? Well, it's time to move it to the church. That ain't what God said. Let's build Mark a bigger house. Don't want one. God is doing something, man. Yes, he's creating an army. And you know what? You guys are to make us jealous. You guys are designed to make us jealous. No, in a good way, in a good way. You just laid hands on this young lady and her knee got healed. That don't make me jealous, but it makes me want to operate in that, don't it, you? Out of the mouth of what? Babes and sucklings, he perfects what? Praise. Because y'all ain't afraid to ask. And the thing about it is y'all have got junk on you that the little ones this big don't have junk on. There's little bitty ones that are going to see the power of the Most High God. I know Mary and Janet and several of y'all have prophesied that for years. Yeah. It's coming. It's here. Amen. That door's opening, like wide open in Jesus' name. Wide open in Jesus' name. Shoo! Who knows what's going on in their classroom right now? We pray for miracles and signs and wonders in those classrooms right now, God, in Jesus' name. I pray for my little granddaughter, Charlotte, Jesus. I thank you, God, that my son and my daughter-in-law will be drawn into the kingdom of God by the presence of God on her as she goes home tonight. Just draw in Jesus' name. Draw in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm not mad, friend. I'm excited. I am excited about what God's doing. I'm not stressed about the coming financial collapse. I'm not stressed about what they're going to do, what the government's going to do, what they're not going to do. We need to pray right now. We might just make this all a prayer meeting. Let's pray right now, because it's so easy to judge. It's easy to judge. We pray right now, Lord, for the mega churches that have been doing God's work. They've been doing God's work, but God, Lord, we pray for them that they would not be pulled away, that mammon won't get in the way and pull them, that men's opinions and popularity will not pull them. God, that they will continue on the right course, God. They will continue to live the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, and believe the Word of God, Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray for them, Lord. Be strong. Let them be a beacon. Let them be like an unmovable force, God, your church marching forward, never looking back, God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. How many of y'all know God is not into evolution? God is not into evolution. Is that true? God did not evolve anything. He spoke it. And it was. The thing about it is God, something else about God's amazing that I love, he never, ever, ever changes his mind. When God gives a commandment, he doesn't back up and think about it and get a new revelation that maybe this wasn't what he meant. And the reason I say that is because man does that. Man does that. We do that. You look at our laws, just about every one of our laws, you look through and you'll see that almost every one of them were written out of the Old Testament laws and covenants. And you've noticed they've been backing up, evolving. And we got to pray for, especially for our young generation that's going to school and they're being told that, you know, this is the new way to think. This is the new America. God hadn't changed his mind. You just need to get that in your head that he has not changed his mind. As we get deeper into God, he gives us new revelation. It's not new revelation. It's something that was from the beginning of creation was there, but we're getting a revelation of something new. So I'm not talking about that, but anyway. John 3, verse 5. I wanted to start here because I didn't want to just pull the verse out that I wanted to get to, but if you remember about this, probably some of the most foundational scripture of people that believe in grace, which is salvation by faith, not by works, by faith. You've got, tell me a couple of famous scriptures you've got in that John 3. You must be born again, and for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that if Shelby would just believe in him, she would not perish. And when I pray with people, by the way, three people gave their life to Jesus at Food Pantry Wednesday. Yeah. Y'all don't think that's good? Where are the other nine? That's what we got to pray. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They're going to get the revelation. Praise the Lord. I pray for the revelation. And you know, the cool thing was, and I'm not mentioning no names because it don't matter, but it don't matter. Sin is sin, right? But oh, doesn't it just, you know, when Jesus came up to the woman taken in adultery and they were getting ready to stone her to death, he said, you that are without sin, you pick up this stone. And one, some of the most powerful scripture in the whole New Testament, I think. But there was a little girl, man, and she was a dancer. And I don't mean she danced in the ballroom. I mean she was a dancer. And she was no telling this girl, she said, I am so ashamed of my life. I'm so ashamed of all the things. And I said, you don't have to be ashamed no more. You don't have to be ashamed no more. God paid the way. And this girl's like, oh, really? My gosh, it was like revelation. I can really be forgiven for all this? And I'm not saying it was a big emotional thing. It was not. But you could see the light come on her face. It was like, oh, really? That's not possible. Yeah, really it is. So God is, man. You know, the Bible pretty much said he went out to the religious, he went out to the rich, he went out to the famous. They said, we got other things more important. Then he said, go on out into the highways, go out into the hedgerows, go get the drug addicts, go get the meth heads, go get the crackheads, go get the prostitutes, go get the homosexuals, go get everybody that has denied God completely. And they will know that they know that they know that they're lost. Those are the ones right now that God is, right? And the thing is, that's what builds an army. Would you agree? Jesus said, one guy was forgiven. Now, I'm paraphrasing this. It's not right. One guy owed somebody $1, and they forgave him for $1 debt. Another guy owed $1 million, and the guy forgave him for $1 million debt. He said, which one will be more grateful? The guy with $1 million debt, he's going to be more grateful, and the power of God's going to come out of him more because he knows what he was, and he knows what he owed. He owed something that he's forgiven much. Exactly. He'll love much. So see, that's the army that's coming in, and God's going to show us how to disciple them without making them religious. He's going to teach us to disciple them without putting them in a mold and crunching them in there. Really. Is that right, Nina? Is that what you see happening? I'm so glad y'all are here this morning. I love y'all. mighty God. We pray over Sarah right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray over this appraiser. We pray over this inspector. Got a first name? Barfo. God, we pray over this inspector. We pray over this person that holds the, well, you hold in your hand whether she gets this house and this land. It's all in your hands, God. So I just pray that you would show this person that they have no control whatsoever over this situation, God. In Jesus' name, we just proclaim, look at Sarah right now and just let's all look at her. Hold your hand up high, Sarah. When I count three, let's just say favor. One, two, three. Favor! Or favor. Okay, here we are. We're finally in John 3. What was that? Let's start at verse 5. Jesus answered, talking to who? Nicodemus, a religious guy. Most assuredly, what's assuredly? Most assuredly, strongly I say to you, like powerfully I say to you, right? Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water, that does not mean baptism, by the way. I just want to let you know, it's not that's not water baptism. When David was in Donna's womb, he was surrounded by water, and something happened before the baby was born. The water broke. Unless a man is born physically and he's born spiritually, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, Donna, this Donna, you were born once of water. You were born once physically. What's your mama's name? Geneva. You was born of Geneva. But then you came to Jesus one day and you were born of the Spirit. And your spirit came alive and went, wah! Spank him, wah! And that's what we do when we're little baby Christians. Wah! You know, sometimes we... God can deal with wah. He just can't deal with arguments. You know? Praise the Lord. Anyway, that's not... That which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? Spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus, by the way, Nicodemus was a brilliant Bible scholar. Nicodemus wasn't some jerk that didn't know anything about the first five books of the Bible. I'm sure he had them memorized. Nicodemus came to him and said what? How can these things be? Now here Jesus, he's what, between 30 and 33 years old, and he just got recognized as a human being. And Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? Are you a Bible scholar? Are you a religious man? Are you one that people have respect for and follow in the church? Are you one of them? And you do not know these things? Question mark. That sounds like a Facebook post. Really? You are a teacher of the kingdom of God and you don't know this? And he wasn't really. He loved Nicodemus. He wasn't saying it jerky or nothing. I'm just telling you, he's asking him this question. Do you not understand this? Do you not know this? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and we testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. What did they see? What did Jesus see? What had Jesus seen? What had John the Baptist seen? Behold, this Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Look at the angels. You know, Jesus saw the angels. Jesus saw the demons. Jesus saw miracles. Jesus saw all the great works of God. Jesus walked around in an open heaven. Wouldn't you say that? He knew. He said, We speak what we know and testify to what we have seen. See, these guys have seen things that Nicodemus had never seen. Nicodemus saw the evidence of it, right? Just like y'all saw the evidence of a knee, right? Getting better, getting healed, right? But Jesus saw, I'm sure he looked and he saw this in great detail. I'm sure he could look in and go, whoa, look at that thing. Look at this. Look at all this happen. The veil was just pulled off of him. But you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? And I think that's why it's so important that we operate. The church has to operate in the power of God again. Again. We need a revolution. We need to go back to where we started. The Bible says the latter things should be greater than the former things, right? So if the church started out on fire and in power and speaking in tongues and laying hands on the sick and seeing the dead raised and shadows, like Peter's shadow, what's it say? Peter's shadow fell on the people and they were healed. Was there any power in his shadow? There was great faith that people that walked with Jesus and ministered for Jesus, there was great faith that when they laid hands on them or got near them, there would be miracles. So that's what he's saying. We live in a generation that has to see. Right? And you go, but that's not right. The Bible says, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. Do we live in a wicked and adulterous generation? And that's been turned around to put a bad thing on you if you seek after signs and wonders. That's not. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks to see an aneurysm shrink. Amen. They do. They do. He's got family. You got family don't know Jesus, don't you? Man, if a doctor looked in there and he pulled that scope up and went, whoa, it's gone. Hallelujah. You know what he'd say? We must have made a mistake on the first set of x-rays because this couldn't be. But we know. Praise the Lord. I'm about through. We need to pray. I got one more, Mark. Mark chapter 8. Verse 27. I love this. I love this. Probably for 5 years at the Methodist Church when we was working with the youth group, we did a passion play. You went to them. You're probably the only one here that just a little youth group passion play. But we put him on the cross and we beat him and bloodied him. That was before there was a movie. That's when all the movies showed Jesus on the cross kind of before the truth really came out. There were people, wasn't there, Cindy? There was people that got saved and born again at that passion play. And these kids were so excited about doing ministry for Jesus, you know. We fell short, though. We should have took them out and prayed for, you know, we weren't walking in the full revelation of what God wants to do. But praise God. Praise God. There's something about that. There's power in it, you know. There's power in that revelation. But the thing I was going to say about that, the name of the passion play was, "Who do you say that I am?" Question mark. And I was out cleaning my garage, and every time I go to clean my garage, and I end up sitting down on a chair and looking at all this old stuff and like, I can't throw that away, man. But there was a hand-drawn poster of that, and I thought, man, that was a powerful time. And some of these kids, my Lord, how old are they now, Donna? Jason, you were a younger one. How old are you now? And you were 14, 15. And we got some that are 40-something years old. I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. And some of them are youth ministers. One of them's over FCA or something at Floyd Central High School. Pastors. There's pastors. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There's one that's been in prison for drugs and is still on drugs and needs to be set free. There's one who had a call to be a preacher and now is a radical homosexual in a club called Leather Boys in Phoenix, Arizona. And I mean, so I can't say all of them, but you know, that's just the two paths. In Jesus' name, the rest of them will come home. The rest of them will come home. In Jesus, and you know what will bring them home? They will come to their right mind, the Bible says. When the prodigal came to his right mind, he said, whoa, even in my father's house, the slaves have got it better than I do. Lord, we pray. Let's pray for the prodigals. Come on. We pray for the prodigals right now in Jesus' name, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Supernaturally. Bring them to their right mind. Let them remember how good the Father's house is, Jesus. Let them remember how pure they felt, God. Lord, give them hope it can happen again. Yes, 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 yes. Kenny Cook, be healed, be delivered, be free in Jesus' name, God. Rabba Sondoba. David Lee Avery, be free, be healed, be delivered in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Tiffany Maupin, Mallory, be healed, be delivered, be free in Jesus' name. And multitudes, God, hundreds that have went through there, God, free them. And God, those that are walking with you, God, anoint them, baptize them in power. Baptize them in your presence. Take them to a new level, Jesus. Who do men say that I am? I'm going to close here after I read this in three different versions. So they answered, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ. What's the Christ? The anointed one. The anointed one. The anointed one. The anointed one. How many of y'all know, say Jesus Christ? It's not his last name. Jesus, the Christ is the title. He is the anointed one. You know, the New Agers are calling out for the Christ. They believe Lord Krishna is the Christ that's coming. I'm telling you, there's counterfeit prophets, and they're calling for the Christ to come because they don't believe the Christ has come. The Christ has come. The Jews are going to know it. The New Agers are going to know it. Every eye will see him. Every knee will bow at the name of Jesus. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Praise the Lord. Ain't going to be no mistake about that on Judgment Day. No, 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 no. He began to teach them. Oh, wait, I missed something there, didn't I? You are the Christ. He strictly warned them they should tell no one about him. He began to teach them the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He told them the whole plan. He spoke this word openly. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke. Can you rebuke the Son of God? Can you rebuke the Christ? Yeah, we do it all the time. He began to rebuke him. He didn't want him to die. He didn't want him to go away. I can understand that, can't you? Get behind, what did he say? He rebuked Peter saying, get thee behind me, Satan. Anytime we tell God or we make a statement that goes against Scripture, we're pretty much being Satan's advocate. Yeah, it is. Forgive us when we do, Jesus. Get behind me, Satan, for you are not what? Mindful. Your mind is not thinking of what? Eternal things, things of God. Your mind is not thinking in an open heaven. Your mind's thinking in the cesspool and the sewer you live in on this planet. The media, the bad report, that's where you're at. But that's okay. I've died on the cross and rose again and shed my blood that you don't have to believe the lie anymore, right? So let's be mindful of the things of God. Okay, go to Mark 8, 34. Where were we? 33. Okay, you're still there, aren't we? When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever desires to save his life. That word, that Greek word is psyche. That word is your soulish realm. That word is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So that's the life he's talking about putting down. Your soulish life, your fleshly life, you put that down. It's got to die. It's got to die. Whoever desires to save his psyche, his soulish life, will lose it. All right, when you lay it down and die, you lost it. You don't want to sin anymore. You don't want to be what you used to be. You don't want to hang out with what you used to hang out with. It's gone. It's dead. But as a human being, as an agent of free choice, you can make the decision to pick that psyche right back up. We've all done it. That's why he said, pick up your cross daily and die. Daily, you got to die. That sounds like a hard thing, man. That sounds like a hard thing. You know what the problem is? The church has wimped out so much on the Word of God that people want it to be a free ride. Oh, the American dream, blah, 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 blah. And that's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's not about the American dream. It's not about 3 cars in the driveway and a house. Praise God for prosperity, but that's not what it's about. Boy, this is going to really make people want to join the kingdom of God. Yes, it should. It gives life. See, I haven't even given you the best part yet. Whoever desires to save his yucky, psyche, sinful, nasty, grimy, slimy life, whoever desires to save it will lose what? But whoever loses his life, his psyche, his soulish, nasty, grimy, slimy life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Save what? Your Zoe, Z-O-E, Zoe life. Your life in Jesus, your life in the Spirit. If you lay down your old man, you get to pick up Jesus' new man. Does that make sense? Am I getting too long for y'all? Is it getting boring? Please take this in. Please, because it's pivotal in your Christian walk. Mary, this is pivotal in your Christian walk in Jesus' name. It is. It's pivotal. Young people, it's pivotal in your walk if you don't want to have regrets and want to look back and say, boy, I wish I'd done things better when I was 16, you know, if I could just go back to that bad decision I made. Hey, praise God, He forgives, He washes, He cleanses, but you know there's decisions you make in life that affect your destiny. Selah. Now here's the verse I want to pull out of all this. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? New Living Translation. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Amplified. Ooh, that could be. Yeah, I'm going to read the whole thing out of the Amplified because I think it. Jesus called to him the throng, huge amount of people with his disciples, and said to them, if anyone intends to come after me, let him deny himself, forget, ignore, disown, and lose sight of himself and his own interests, and take up his cross, and joining me as a disciple and siding with my party, follow with me, continually cleaving steadfastly to me. It's wordy, isn't it? For whoever wants to save his higher spiritual eternal life will lose it. He will lose it, the lower natural temporal life which is lived only on earth. Whoever gives up his life which is lived only on earth for my sake and the gospel's will save his higher spiritual life in the eternal kingdom of God. For what profit is a man? What profit does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life in the eternal kingdom of God? For what can a man give in exchange and compensation and ransom in return for his soul? How many of y'all work a job or have worked a job? I think there's I know there's a feeling a lot of people anymore that work is bad. It's not. When God put them in the garden, the first thing He did is He told them to tend the garden. He gave them work to do. Work is good. Work teaches you the principles of heaven. You know that if you let it? It does. It teaches you that if you do a good job, you can get promoted to a better job. Does that make sense? But the bottom line is if you work all week, and you put in your 40 hours, hopefully you can get 40 hours, it's hard to get that anymore. But if you work all week, and you put in your 40 hours, Fred, you get something. It's called a check or cash, and that's called wages. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you've just got to get your mind, you got to get your mind set on heavenly things. You got to get your mind set on heavenly things. You do. You've got, let's say, the longest anybody's going to be on this planet, according to what happened after the flood, is 120 years. And not many of us are going to make it to 120 years. I don't know what the average mean age is in the United States. It's probably 80 point something or other, 90 point. I don't know. It's gone up a little bit. But if you think of that, if you think about that in the context of eternity, I just want you to imagine a rope that's been stretched across the United States, which if you go all the way across our country, it's probably 4,000, maybe close to 4,000 miles, I don't know. And you paint a little half-inch orange line around that rope somewhere at the beginning of that rope. That right there is your lifetime, and that across the nation. And of course, that doesn't even touch it, but that's eternity. So when you trade this little blip of time for eternity, you're a fool. You are a fool. And you'll know what a fool you are someday if you do. Even as a Christian, when we don't live up to our destiny, we've got a blip of time to serve Jesus. We've got just a little bit of space right there. The Bible says your lifetime is like a vapor, and it just vanishes away. Who just turned 16, Elizabeth? You know what, ain't been too long ago that I remember when I turned 16, I went and got my driver's permit. Ain't been too long ago at all. Now I'm wrinkled and bald and praise God, praise God. Now I'm listening to Jesus music. Then I was partying with Led Zeppelin and Iron Butterfly, and I was just going my own way and doing my own thing, and man, he's good. He's so good. And I ain't got much time left to serve him. He might show up tomorrow, you know. But man, let's take everything we've got and serve the Lord with all of our heart. So when we get there, we're gonna have a great reward. It's never gonna lose its shine, it's never gonna lose its value. Man, when you go to heaven, and, you know, I can just see you in a room. I can see you, man, I can see y'all walking around the supper table, right? You got a big banquet going on. And you walk up and go, ah, Mary, praise God. I remember when I led you to Jesus. Now, I didn't, but you'll see people. Man, I remember we prayed in the food pantry. I never saw you again, but praise God, you must have meant it. You know what I mean? That's going to matter a whole lot. That's going to matter a whole lot. That's not going to matter, you know, how big a house you got, how much money you made this year. Ain't going to matter, Jack, really. The only thing that's going to matter is what you've done for Jesus. So I'd just like to stand up. I'm not going to. You know, Jesus said before you start, he did a parable about building a house. He said, don't start building a house without counting the cost. He said, basically, he said, you know, you get the framework up and you don't get a roof on it and all the wood rots and everything. He said, basically, people are going to look at you and say, what an idiot. He started to build a house and didn't have enough material to finish it. And we always use that as before you come to Jesus, before you decide to serve Jesus, count the cost. And I fully believe that. But I think sometimes we haven't fully counted the cost of what Jesus told us he wanted from us. Chloe, praise God, she just got to start coming out to youth group. And she got a nice spirit about her. Look at that glow on her. Really. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Lord, we count the cost. You know, Jesus was talking and the disciples said, man, we've given up wives, we've given up homes, we've given up land, we've given up all this to follow you. And he said, don't worry, son, you're going to be rewarded very big. He didn't say it. You'll be rewarded greatly for this. So, God, I thank you for the rewards. Y'all just open up your arms and receive it. God, just stand like this. So you're not perfect. So you blew it. Just hold your hands out like this. I receive. I thank you for the rewards. I thank you for the rewards of following the King. I thank you the rewards of following the King, God. We come against every argument, every high thing that would say, oh, it could be better. He could have done more for me. No, he's already done plenty for you. He laid down his life and bled. So, God, we are thankful. God, we are weak. Just go on and admit that. I'm weak, God. But you promised that your strength would be made perfect in my weakness. So, God, you've got a perfect opportunity to show how strong you are in me. Because Mark here, if there ever was a weakling, it was Mark. If there was ever one that was weak and gave in to sin and gave in to the things of this world, it was Mark. So, Lord, if you can do it for me, you can do it for us. So, Lord, thank you, God, that we decide. We will follow, God. We thank you, God. We will reap the wages of the kingdom of God. I thank you, Lord, for every soul here to win souls. I thank you for 100, 60, 30. Nobody in this church would have less than 30 souls they brought into the kingdom. But, God, I pray for tens of thousands of souls to come into the kingdom. Tens of thousands. Y'all believe it. I'm going to lead tens of thousands into the kingdom. More, 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 more. Lord, strengthen me, strengthen me, strengthen me. Oh, Lord, I will walk in the Spirit. And I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Not because I'm strong, but because your strength is made perfect in my weakness. We're a good team. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's give him praise. Let's glorify him. Come on, make some noise. Come on, one will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000 to flight. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Anybody need prayer for anything, come up. But right now especially, I feel like some of y'all have got something called, and we all got it. Some of us won't admit it. We've all had it. We've all dealt with it. But there's something called besetting sins. You're going along just fine, and like, wham, you get punched in the gut, and you go down for the count. That's called that sin that so easily besets you. You're going along walking a good walk, and you've been doing it for 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, and then all of a sudden that temptation comes up and you don't even recognize it's coming. I'm not going to ask you to stand up or come up here because I don't want to embarrass you. In Jesus' name, just everybody raise your hands because we've all had that. God, right now, God, strengthen our spirit, man. right now, Jesus, God, strengthen the prophetic gifting, Lord. First to hear when you are warning us. First to hear, Holy Spirit, when you're saying, danger, 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 danger. You're getting near that cliff. You're getting ready that fall. In Jesus' name, we break that spirit of fear and temptation right now in Jesus' name. And God, we replace it with the joy of the Lord, the joy of doing God's will, the joy of walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And Jesus, you said, sin not. Didn't he say that? Sin not. But if you should fall in sin, praise the Lord, don't you get depressed when you fall. You get on your knees and say, Jesus, I confess, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. Let me go further next time. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Thank you for freedom. Put some music on, Dan. If y'all need prayer for anything, we'll join you and pray.